like to welcome everyone to the meeting this morning. I ask that you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. President, I'd like to excuse our colleague.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Approve the minutes.
Yeah, move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Mr. Theobald?
Good morning.
Morning, Pete.
I stand before you 25 years after the fact. And what I mean by that is in 1983, Butler County participated in the creation of something called the Certified Development Company of Butler County. And so, effective, you'll see one of the agenda items today is a resignation of four individuals, and I am one of them, from a county employee. And one of the reasons that we have done that is with your support and encouragement throughout the years and now to this point, we've gotten to the point where we can indeed become independent. It was Butler County's desire when the CDC was founded that it would be spun off as a private, it is a private company, but it would eventually be spun off. And thanks to the great support that we've gotten from all of you, the time is now. I'm here today to thank you guys so much for the CDC, but for all the staff. Greg, I know you spent countless hours with us traveling at meetings, approving projects, business loans in Butler County. Commissioner Furman, I know you did exactly the same, countless hours, and I don't even know how many that was. And we just got to know Commissioner Dixon, and he's been a great advice and counsel recently as we've gone through this process. And Mr. Williams, I know that you've been very helpful too as we've tried to figure some things out. 2 years ago, what happened is we no longer were just chartered to do business in the county of Butler. We're responsible for the state of Ohio. And the Small Business Administration is collapsing the number of certified development companies. They want fewer, not more. So given that we had the responsibility to take care of deals outside of Butler County, it was a pressure upon us. We evaluated the whole situation. We talked to all of you. And I know that you, Commissioner Jolivet, were very helpful to us in putting together some staffing plans, so on and so forth. And we are now at the point where we're very, very confident that we can make a go of it on our own and meet your original objective that you set forth in 1983. We don't want to live off the county subsidy forever. And I hopefully you're proud of us that we can tell you today that we're going to do just that. So what we have done is over the last 3 or 4 months, we've gone through a merger process. We have merged with another company in Warren County, the CDC there. So now we have double the loan portfolio. We are bigger, we are stronger, we have more staff, and we think we're ready to take on the world, quite honestly. We have a huge cash reserve, It'll approach seven figures. So we have resources, financial resources, we have staff resources, and we've got so much business right now, we can't do it all. But the fact of the matter is, we're very appreciative of what you've done for us at Butler County. You started us, and we're always going to be here. When we decided to leave the county, to leave with Warren County and merge into an independent company, we decided to stay in Butler County. So the closest place we could get to Warren, since they're bringing resources too, was near I-75, and so now our new office is at the intersection of 129 and I-75 in Liberty Township. Today at 3 o'clock, there will be a ceremony, a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and you gentlemen are all invited, and others that might want to come as well. We're very excited about that, but we are in Butler County, and to us, that is symbolic. Yes, we are obligated to do deals, and I just did one the other day in Sandusky, but the fact of the matter is, we are here in Butler County, we're going to stay here, and we're going to do as much as we can for small businesses in this area. The best thing, in our opinion, about the action that we have just taken is that now we will be able to do more for small businesses. You don't know how much it used to pain us when probably 20 times a month we would get a call from a small business and we couldn't help them. The reason we couldn't help them is because we were dedicated only to doing SBA 504 lending. specific type of lending program. With this merger and with the five-year plan that we have developed, we're now going, in addition to that line of business, we're going to some new areas. Management consulting to help small businesses get themselves a little bit more prepared for their success. Financial brokerage so that we can deliver to them financial resources other than just SBA 504 lending. Eventually, we'll move into areas of venture capital and things of that nature. We have a five-year plan. We think we now will be able to answer all of the requests for small businesses that we've been getting over the last couple of years. But that never would have happened if we hadn't had 25 years of great support by the county staff, and by you all as commissioners. So I'm here today to thank you.
Thank you, Peter. We appreciate that. That's a nice location for your office.
Yes, it is.
It's a nice area.
That's yeah. Great. And you know, Commissioner Furman, the stars just came in alignment in all respects. But one of them was that office. We negotiated hard, but we got it at 40 cents on the dollar than what the market rate is over there. And the subsequent lease that was signed by someone else in that building, we paid 40% of what they're paying. So things have just come together in a way. It just must have been providence, or must have been ordained in some way.
That's great.
Mr. President, and Peter, I want to say congratulations to you. But you know, back in 1983, there's one person that I think he failed to mention that we should mention, and that's Pat Landy, who's been through the process for all these years and has been the chairman. And we certainly owe him a debt of gratitude from the county. And I know that, you know, we've been through some tough times with the CDC where there's only been, you know, two or three loans a year to a record this year, I think, is 19, 20, or almost into the 30s, I think, is what. And a lot of that has to do with your involvement in the CDC and being able to go out and market the potential of the CDC to small businesses. So, you know, I recognize that and congratulate you, but also caution you, as I did at the meeting, don't get bogged down within the office. I mean, your, you know, main expertise is going out there and drumming up the business. So I wish you well. The involvement from the commission and my involvement was that, you know, commissioner had to be on the board, and we had a lot of you know, monetary interest from the commission and the public funds. Mm-hmm. I'm still debating whether I'm going to move on with the board. Maybe when we, you know, merge the two boards, you know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my time schedule and things like that, but I really enjoyed being a part of the board and seeing it grow, and also a debt of gratitude for Janae Allen for leading the CDC for so many years, and also to all the different board members, the banking representatives of Butler County, who, you know, when we had a deal come in, you know, they were a lot smarter about the financials than I am, and I learned a lot just being in the room and listening to them, and they need a debt of gratitude of the different banking officials who were on the board and what they did to promote small businesses and the CDC and the SBA loans. One of the things that I hope that the SBA does is continue to streamline its paperwork process, because I think that is a real detriment to small businesses, and it's a big, maybe it's a myth, but small business owners thinking, well, boy, I don't want to get involved in government or SBA loans. It's just too many paperwork, too much hassle. And I think that, you know, may be a myth, but also there's some truth to that we really put them through the ringer with regards to information. And I hope that they continue to streamline that, and I hope that as you go out and continue to market the new company, that businesses will take a look at using the CDCs in order to meet their goals about expanding and staying in Southwest Ohio. So,
you know, as always, that's the kind of great encouragement as well as the good advice we've always gotten from all the commissioners, and specifically you, Commissioner Jolivet. Regarding that last point, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of paperwork. We have been, and we will continue to be responsive to that. One of the areas is, you may not know this, but when other CDCs around the country do their closings, there's a $2,500 attorney charge that goes along with that closing. We charge $1,500. So we save a business $1,000 when they do a deal with us. That's awesome. But you know what? The $1,500, we have an attorney that works really well with us, and we only pay them $750. And we keep $750. And what does that $750 do? It allows us internally to do a lot of the paperwork for the business person so they don't have to do it. Because we are very sensitive that we don't want it to appear too bureaucratic, too much involved in paperwork. So that's one of the things we're doing is try to lessen their burden for all the paperwork that they might perceive that we would have. But again, it's my challenge to help go out and spread that gospel. I took your words to heart about not being too tied into the office, but that was one of the good things about the merger with Warren County. The person that came to Warren County is more of an inside person. So I'm looking to him to fill the shoes, big shoes, of Janae Allen to be able to handle a lot of the daily administrative work that, quite honestly, I'm not good at and I don't want to be good at. So I think it's a great marriage, but I appreciate those great words.
We wish you well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Peter, just one question.
Yes.
The surviving corporation is the corporation, the not-for-profit corporation that was originally established here
yes.
in the merger. So
yes. Mr. Williams, yes.
That board of directors continues with some changes
yes.
That was initially here. So I think Greg is one of those board of directors now.
And right.
That is correct.
So the Warren County not-for-profit basically now goes out of existence. And so our not-for-profit corporation really is now the corporation of the two merged entities.
That is correct. The Warren County CDC was merged out of existence. Ours is the surviving corporation. But the most important thing I should have told you, and I didn't, is there is a new name. We are no longer known as the Certified Development Company of Butler County, but rather we are now known as ACCESS, A-C-C-E-S-S, Business Development and Finance. So we are ABDF, Access Business Development and Finance. That is the new name, Mr. Williams, for the historical corporation that we've always had here at Butler County.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Wish you the best and continued success, Peter. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
David Fear.
I've got one item for approval this morning. It's a roadway dedication plat rate portion of Beckett Road in Washington.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. It's always good to see our Butler County Treasurer, Nancy Nix, here today. Welcome. And at this time, we'll call on Roger Reynolds, Butler County Auditor. Always good to see Roger Reynolds.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Roger.
Morning.
Tim, how are you?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Great. Hey, did you get a chance to pull up my email this morning? I do have some handouts. Did you have a chance to pull it in for copies?
I did. I looked at that beta, yes.
Okay, so I did bring copies in case Commissioner Javelet or Commissioner Furman, if you would like.
I haven't received it.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for taking the time this morning to meet and listen and provide feedback on the Auditor's Office efforts to streamline county government and improve access to public records and data. I bring forward this morning to you an idea constructed to give the citizens an instrument that will allow more transparency within our office, a tool that will give citizens more control and accountability of our actions. Related to Butler County Auditor's Office. The Auditor's Office, along with the IT division, are in development stages of providing a search tool that will be searched for expenditure database. And again, those expenditures would be those incurred by the Auditor's Office. The search tool will allow citizens greater ease of access and viewing the auditor's office expenditures. Clearly, an online search tool also increases transparency and allows citizens a quick and easy option to view public records via the internet. A link to the search tool will be located on the homepage of the auditor's office. And as always, we'll take great care in protecting any confidential data, just as we would when we receive a provide paper documents under a traditional public records request. As far as cost, estimated time, it is a project that we can take care of in-house with current staff. We estimate it to be approximately 80 hours of design, development, and testing before we can first go live. And we hope to actually have this online search page up and running within a few weeks. It's we feel the technology is there, that it's actually a fairly simple process and tying it into our current expenditure database. Right now we've seen various government entities. The federal government, in fact, provides a search database which went online this past December, and that can actually be accessed at usaspending.gov. And a few states have also continued on and to provide this tool for state level, county levels as well. The Hamilton County Auditor has a similar search engine or a search tool for the auditor's office down in Hamilton County. So, overall, I feel that the search tool, which will cost maybe we're looking at a few thousand dollars. To implement it, in the end it will actually save us money from taking the time to have a person come in the office, make a records request in person. One of our personnel would then have to take that, look at it, go back, pull data, make copies, and all in all 15, 20, 30 minutes time process of a public records request. Here's the availability of a citizen from home, from their office, via the internet, quickly pulling up their need, what they wish to take a look at, pull it, print it at the convenience of their home or office. So actually, I think it's a cost savings, plus it's another valuable service that we can provide to the taxpayers as we're prudent and spending and managing county government services.
Roger, I think I've heard of this with the city of Milwaukee, I think, is adopted this.
That is correct.
Now, what you're proposing is excellent. I think it's a great idea, but it's just for your office, that your expenditures from your offices?
That's correct. That's correct.
Give us an example. Okay. Let's say I'm a private citizen and I want to know.
Right. You're a private citizen. Right now, one of the big tasks that we're rolling in the auditor's office is the CAFR and the PAFR. Comprehensive annual finance report. So we utilize an outside printing service. So Mr. Jolivet, you may be sitting at home and saying, okay, received the CAFR or saw it at the local library or a copy of the PAFR, whichever one, and you're thinking, okay, well, what did they spend? What's the spend to the printers for that particular expenditure? So you could go online, and if you can take the example that I showed you. You can quickly select the office of auditor, department. You could select all if you didn't know it was coming out of the fiscal office. Vendor would be select all, and under the there will be a category. It's not actually on here, but account. So you could look up printing. You can pull up all the printing in the vendor costs.
What you spend for printing,
exactly,
for different companies within, exactly, the county.
And so every vendor that we've spent money with this year or last year will pull up and will have vendor name, date, dollar amount that was spent. So that would give you an opportunity to go ahead and take a look at what we spent, and you'll be able to, should be able to tie it to the CAFR or PAFR.
Now, this is something that every office holder could adopt also for their particular office?
Sure. I think in time, if that's a desire of the different offices, that they may utilize a very similar tool. Clearly, areas around the courts, the prosecutor's office, sheriff's office, we're dealing with a lot greater sensitivity of data, and it may not be, may not necessarily be the right tool for an area where there's a strong sensitivity of data due to HIPAA requirements. But related to the auditor's office, certainly we'll take care in benefits different areas that are protected by HIPAA, but certainly could be utilized by other offices and departments.
Like our commission office certainly could be able to take advantage of this. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I would be in favor of that if we wanted to do that.
It's part of our continued effort for open government. It's taxpayer dollars. We're entrusted to spend taxpayer dollars prudently and wisely, and here's an opportunity to, with a quick and easy tool, to allow citizens to see how we're spending taxpayer dollars.
Roger, that's a good. You've hit the ground running, obviously, with your new position. All this is public record anyway, and it just makes it that much more accessible.
That's correct.
I think it's a great thing. Good job.
Okay, thank you. And if any support or, what I would recommend, Greg and Chuck, is we go through and we put forth a version out there, sort of go through it, take a look at our version, and again, if there's other offices that wish to
you think you get it up and running and see how it's working, and
that's what you're right,
troubleshoot all the different problems.
Sure. And obviously we'll test, and we'll go through that beta version prior to going live, so that we do have most everything troubleshot, is so that we don't we cover most of the bases. But clearly there'll be feedback from the public that we'll listen to.
Maybe we'll use it.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant to say.
So, well, thanks. Thanks, Roger.
Okay, thank you.
Good job.
Appreciate it. Nancy, did you have anything you want
to No, I just
up?
Wanted to hear his presentation. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience have anything before the commission?
Need some help?
Is that going to work, Tim?
Sean, can you use this?
Yeah, I can come out here.
Okay.
Oh, well. Okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today to address some of the concerns that I have about the potential layoffs that are going to come to Environmental Services. My name is Shauna Noble, and I've been a Butler County employee since 2002. I'd hoped to be on the agenda formally today, but for some reason that had been not given to me. And also too, I'd hoped that I'd had management support here today that had been given to me in the past and had been given to me this week in an opinion and a quote for me, but for some reason that quote was recanted. But I'm not here to bring any defamation to anyone. I'm not here to say that anybody's done anything wrong. I'd just like to present to you my case and the concerns that I have. While it has been stated that the reason for the layoffs in environmental services is the lower cost for our ratepayers, I would like to present information to you which supports that eliminating my position could actually cost the county somewhere between $200,000 and $800,000 each year. When the positions were identified for potential layoff, DES indicated that you would be eliminating half of an admin assistant from its human resources section. However, this is not an accurate reflection of my position nor the job duties that I have been fulfilling. I am a full-time employee who has been acting as a health and wellness coordinator for environmental services since obtaining my master's degree in December 2007. And since March, I've been acting as a health and wellness coordinator for all of Butler County. At that time, my salary was separated or split between the health insurance fund for the county and environmental services. My job responsibilities have been focused exclusively toward creating a formalized health and wellness program, not admin duties. And that's why I brought my strategic business plan goals for the year to show you that formally it says that my second goal says implement a wellness agenda and programming. Butler County greatly needs to continue a formal health and wellness program as a cost reduction initiative. I am fully qualified and capable to continue in this capacity. Anthem completed a report in November 2007 regarding the top five disease management categories, which measures Butler County's health status to all of Anthem Midwest customers. And I brought that, the graph here with me today. This shows our health status compared to Anthem Midwest. And all these five disease management categories, if you want to come get this, you can. And all these five disease management categories, Butler County employees were doing worse in all five disease management categories. Butler County employees filed more claims in these disease management categories than all those compared to Anthem Midwest customers. And our claims is what Anthem uses to determine the rates that they're going to charge Butler County and its employees. Also, too, the County Commissioners Association of Ohio shared a report with me that indicated that if counties and organizations continue managing their costs as they have in the current trend, as you can see by the red line, that's the current trend, if we continue managing costs by the current trend, our costs will continue to escalate. And even if we shift costs to employees, our costs will continue to escalate at the same rate. One of the most effective ways that Butler County can manage its healthcare costs and hold the line is by allowing me to continue implementing the health and wellness program that I have been implementing for the county. If you wanna. In fact, I'd like to show you even more that my efforts can actually save the county money in a big way. Industry averages show that for every dollar spent in health and wellness, an average of $3 is saved in healthcare costs. So if you view my salary and my benefits together at $54,800 as an investment. Butler County, its employees, taxpayers, and ratepayers will realize a minimum of $150,000 in cost savings. However, $150,000 is very conservative. The University of Michigan's Health Research Management Center states that workplace wellness programs will save $80 to $225 per employee each year in healthcare cost savings and an equal amount in productivity gains. Butler County has roughly 1,800 employees. So using that figure of 1,800 employees, Butler County will save anywhere between $288,000 to $810,000 by allowing me to continue the health and wellness program I have been coordinating. In addition to the county losing money by eliminating my position, the county will also lose much money in the form of public assistance its laid off employees will require. First, we will not be paying tax money from our employment taxes into the local tax system. Secondly, much money will be paid through unemployment. But I'd also like for you to know the personal impact that this layoff could have upon my life. One of the harsh, cruel realities of my life is that I have worked very hard to get myself off of public assistance. But now I may be forced back once again to get on the rolls again of Medicaid and other forms of public assistance. When I was 16 years old, a fence pole impaled my body in a car wreck, nearly killing me and leaving me totally disabled. Everyone assumed that I would live a life of welfare, subsidized living, and hopelessness. Instead, I have gone to college. I have obtained my master's degree. And every day I work to provide for myself. And just to add, I have an excellent attendance record and have missed very, very minimal work since I have been here. So I'm not a liability for this county. I am an asset. I'm finally at the point in my life where I no longer receive Medicaid to help me pay for the nurse aid that I pay for daily to help me get ready for work. I no longer receive Medicaid to help me pay for the wheelchair repairs that I need. I no longer receive Medicaid to help me pay for my medical supplies. I no longer receive Medicaid to help me pay for my medicines. Instead, I have gone above and beyond the status quo, and I have decided to provide for myself, and that's what I want to continue to do. Laying me off, as well as many others, will actually cost taxpayers money rather than saving them money. I am asking you to evaluate the positions that were presented to you for the layoff and consider the value that they can bring to the county. There are two sides to every story, and I am encouraging you to maybe speak with the individual employees to learn the value that their position holds and the value that they bring to the county. My position alone can save the county hundreds of thousands of dollars by allowing me to stay and continue the health and wellness program that I have been performing. I am also asking you to consider, or at least reconsider, other ways that you can cut costs for the ratepayers besides devastating employees and their families. For example, eliminating positions through attrition, placing us in other departments, cutting DES staff to 35 hours per week, or just cutting salaries, period. Anyway, besides laying off families and this when the economy is already so unstable. Because laying off employees will not save the county money, it will actually cost the county money. I also, too, have one final question. As I had stated earlier, half of my position is paid for by environmental services. The other half of my position is paid for out of the health insurance fund. I don't know if anybody made you aware of this, but if so, and if not, what is happening to the other position? And did people make you aware of what I have been doing for the county and trying to help you to save costs? I am confident that my position can provide Butler County an excellent return on investment. And I welcome the opportunity to support this information and provide you further justification for saving my position. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. I admire you for what you've done here and for coming forth with this information. Obviously, we'll have to look at everything and take it into consideration. Mr. Jolly, do you have any at this time?
Yeah, Sean, I just wanted to say that, you know, you are, you know, should be really proud of the accomplishments that you've achieved since your accident, and certainly don't want to diminish that. And you know, getting off the public assistance and being able to help yourself is really admirable. And when I heard of your of what you did, and let me go back, is when we first presented the plan for our goal of reducing rates for our ratepayers, and I had no idea what positions or what names went with those positions. And that's the way I think it should be. Our managers and directors presented them a goal to say, excuse me?
And I'm sure too that you're, you know, taking that on good faith, but, you know, taking the list, the positions on good faith that this is presented to you, that this is what should be done. So I'm just, now I'm encouraging you as the commissioners or whatever to look at the positions and the value that they bring to the county. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's okay. You know, and you're right. And that's what we're doing. We haven't made a final decision. The one question that I have since your presentation and of your job duties is I'm asking, you know, how does this relate to a water and sewer department? Quite possibly it could be in some other department to be county wide for all the employees. You say there's 1,800 county employees, but yet your job was through the Department of Water and Sewer.
As my understanding, March 31st, that's when my salary officially got split between the two. When I first approached Jim Davis about bringing health and wellness programs or a comprehensive program to environmental services, I went to him back in December of 2007. And he said, because I've seen them do some hit or miss wellness initiatives in environmental services to, you know, try to enhance people's quality of life and to improve employee health, because, you know, that's how you have the gains on the productivity. And so Jim Davis told me, he said, that is a wonderful idea. I'd like you to help me develop a plan for next year. So he and I worked together, and we looked at the different Anthem Preventive Benefits that are available for the county, you know, that they just began this year. So we broke it down every quarter, focusing on the disease management categories that Anthem pointed out, the different preventive benefits that are going to target that chronic illness, and different activities that I was going to initiate in that department. So I was doing it from December until March 31st. I was doing it exclusively just for environmental services, doing things that I had done, as I had done some presentations to diabetics and to smokers about, you know, our new Anthem Preventive Benefit is about Chantix, the prescription drug that helps people to get off or help to kick the habit of smoking. So I've helped them, you know, I've seen some people actually quit or start on the road to start and quit smoking. Also too, as I said, I presented to diabetics. Diabetics can now meet with a nutritionist to help them to develop a healthy meal plan and help them to manage their diabetes. So I was doing those things, as I said, exclusively for environmental services. So then when March 31st came around, then I began dividing my time, where I focused half my time on activities and education and things of that nature for environmental services. And the other half of my time is going to different departments and presenting the same type of information to them. And I've received some excellent, you know, kudos, excellent remarks back from the employees stating that, you know, they're excited about, you know, this initiative and seeing it come to the county. And so, and I'm not opposed to being, you know, not divided between the two and being more of a just all-inclusive county thing. Me personally, I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying that however you guys do decide to do it, it needs to be done, and it's proven. And I've attached in my report, you know, the factual data that shows that there is a return on investment.
I would, you know, I'm very much supportive of preventative medicine, and I think that is a value to the county. As to how we quantify that, you know, you've given us some information. I think that for my one-third is that, you know, we have Doug Duckett take a look at it, have the Health Advisory Committee take a look at it with regards to, as we provide health care, health benefits to our employees, mm-hmm. that this also goes along with that. So I will certainly take a look at that. But as we look at the getting back to basics with the Water and Sewer Department, mm-hmm. you know, your position may be best fit for under Doug Duckett, under personnel, or under some such position like that.
Okay, and I guess, too, let me stress again that, you know, I have come, you know, because I can only speak for myself, but I do feel that there are other positions that are on that list that are not as disposable as they're being portrayed, but as I said, I'm not going to speak for anyone else. And if they come before you to present their case, and that's for them. But I just hope that there's some reconsiderations about some of the proposals that has been made. So.
As to your first statement, I just wanted to say that I don't. You didn't put your request to come to us through our office, and it was denied. Is that? Did you call our office and ask to be on the agenda?
I had put my request through Barbara Woolham, and all that I know is that it was told to me that the agenda was too full and that I was supposed to have a meeting after this with you guys to discuss this, which that is fine, too, if you guys want to still meet to discuss, but I was just told that I was not able to be on the agenda because of time concerns, but I think that saving the county, not saving me, but saving the county and its taxpayers anywhere from $200,000 to $800,000, I do think that that is a public concern and a public interest.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Anyone else in the audience have anything for the commission at this time? Go into communications, please.
Certainly. Under travel and training, we have 8 requests today. First from Chuck Demidovich, care facility to attend the Ohio County Commissioners Annual Summer Conference, $260. Next, Laura Joy Campbell, Personnel Department, to attend a board meeting for the NEPERLA board for $1,400. Next, from the Kirk of Courts, Cindy Carpenter, Jerome Cook, Jeff Wyrick, Stephanie Harris, Stacy Carpenter, Diane Becknell, to attend the summer conference for the Kirk of Courts, $3,500. Next, Ray Pater, CSEA, for the July membership meeting of the OCDA, $495. Next, for Judge Randy Rogers, Probate Court, for the 2008 Annual Conference of Ohio Association of Probate Judges, Canton, Ohio, for $758. Next, Mary Lynn Loader for Environmental Services to attend the OWEA Annual Conference, $646. Next,
pull that one, Tim.
Pull that one.
You okay with that?
What's that?
Can we pull that one?
Which one?
Mary Lynn Loader for Environmental Services.
Okay.
Just get a little more of a
All right.
feel for it. I'd like to know a little more about what this entails.
Okay. Next, Kim Snyder, Dan Ferguson, Prosecutor's Office for the Ohio Prosecuting Attorney's Summer Training Conference, $1,700. And finally, from Probate Court, Pete Mingle, Patricia Heider, Russ Hopps, Erica Keith, Teresa Bauer, Itzu, Katie DeLong, Sharon Dean, Rosemary Sarber, for the Lifespan Annual Meeting in Fairfield, Ohio, $200. Next, we have adjustments to budgets and transfers. Give you both a copy of those. We have about six requests. The first to increase the insurance account for amounts, increased budget to replace a sheriff's unit that was totaled. That's a claim. Next, under economic development, increase $200 to reclass between two line items to accommodate a directory listing. Next, in municipal courts, $27,500 transfer between salary accounts in order to adjust the salary account between the elected official and employees. Next, we have an increase in appropriation and transfers of $93,360 and $21,234 for the court remodeling funds. Next, under water and sewer, fund 4100, we have an increase of $3,680 for a refund that was received on a fee permit. Next, we have a increase in the water fund of $47.90 transfer to correct an accounting adjustment. And finally, under the parking garage, we have a reclass to between two accounts in the amount of $2,000 to enable the purchase of some backup batteries for the gates. The next resolution is for the Board of Elections. The Board of Elections requests an increase in their budget for $2,412 due to a reimbursement received on a grant. Next, under finance resolutions, we have a request to increase the certificate of estimated resources for Fund 1024, which is a concealed carry fund, for in the amount of $30,000. Now, as we move into personnel, we have several personnel resolutions, so please bear with me. Hopefully, I'll have a voice afterwards. The first resolution is to amend the temporary moratorium on step increases and add comments to it that says nothing in that resolution is intended to affect step increases that provided under terms of collective bargaining agreements that are currently in force and binding for the county.
Tim, and that's what these are?
That's correct.
So this is all part of the union contract?
They're all collective bargaining unit changes, either promotions or primarily step increases.
Okay.
First, we have a resignation of Gerald Sebald from the County Records Department, effective May 30th, 2008. We now have the following four resignations from the CDC as referred to by Peter Theobald in his presentation. The first is Selena Cruz's resignation, effective May 30th. Next is Stephanie Ziegler's resignation, effective May 30th. Next is Jolana Kappen's resignation, effective May 30th. And finally, Peter Theobald's resignation, effective May 30th. Next, in the Building and Zoning Department, Clayman Callahan, inspector, is receiving a step increase. And again, all these are collective bargaining personnel from $21.39 to $22.36 effective April 12th. That's a 4.5% increase. Next, Stacy Parsley, eligibility referral specialist, Job and Family Services, to a rate of $15.20 effective June 23rd. That's an increase of 4.1%. Next, Sarah Sandlin, eligibility referral specialist to from Job and Family Services, increase a rate to $14.73. That's a 4.2% increase. Next, Debbie Smith, eligibility referral specialist 2, Job and Family Services. She's resigned her position in Middletown reassigned her position in Middletown to take a similar position in Hamilton, Ohio, effective June 23rd, 2008. Next, Karen Fugit is promoted. She's an investigator in Job and Family Services. Her rate is $16.22 an hour, effective June 9th, 2008. No change in rate. Next, Donna Hindley, employed as Social Service 1 in Job and Family Services, successfully completed her probationary period, and effective May 10th is increased to $14.73, a 3.2% raise. Next, Jennifer Daniel, LGBT Referral Specialist 2, Job and Family Services, completed probationary period, pay adjusted to $15.20, a 3.2% increase, effective May 24th. Next, Mike Myers, mail clerk messenger, Job and Family Services, an adjustment for a longevity increase in accordance with the contract to $15.58. That's a 0.3% increase. Next, Vicki Lawwell, eligibility referral specialist 2, Job and Family Services, adjusted to $17.45, effective May 10th, a 4.1% increase. Next, Judy Bohm, accounting clerk, Job and Family Services, adjusted to $14.36, effective May 10th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Vicki Cassidy, employee referral specialist 2, Job and Family Services, to $18.12, effective May 10th, a 3.8% increase. Next, Heather Wilson is being terminated as a social service worker 2 in Children's Services, effective May 2nd, 2008. Next, James Jeffries, Children's Services, employed as a family resource specialist, a longevity increase to $15.83, a 3.3% change, effective March 29th. Next, Sarah DeMoss shall be paid $284.34 to adjust unreported time on her latest timesheet. She is in the Children's Services area. Next, Melissa Reed, Children's Services. She is a increase to $23.19, a 3.4% increase effective March 25th. Next, Jane Lodges, Children's Services. She's a financial specialist, adjusted to $15.82, a 3.5% increase effective April 11th. Next, Derek Johnson, a social services worker 4, Children's Services, an increase to $20.30, a 3.3% increase, effective April 26th. Next, Emily Sabin, Children's Services, social worker 4, an increase to $19.64, effective April 8th, a 3.4% increase. Next, Kiata Lee, Children's Services, a social services worker 4, an increase to $23.96, effective April 26, a 3.3% increase. Next, Nicole Barber, Children's Services, as social services worker 3, an increase to $17.39 an hour, effective May 4th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Jessica Brown, social services worker 4 in Children's Services, increased to $23.84, effective May 4th, a 3.3% change. Next, Julie Smith, social services worker 4, Children's Services, an increase to $23.84, effective May 8th, a 3.3% increase. And next, Jennifer Crawl, social service worker 2, Children's Services, an increase to $16.90, effective May 17th, a 3.3% increase. Next, social services worker 2, Emily Kane, in Children's Services, an increase to $16.46, effective May 11th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Michelle Fuller, social services worker 3, Children's Services, increase to $22.57, effective May 3rd, a 3.3% increase. Next, Gail Johnson, social services worker 3, Children's Services, an increase to $19.01, effective May 11th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Alicia Muncy, social worker services 4, Children's Services increased $21.82, effective May 5th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Nicole Smith, Social Services Worker 4, Children's Services, an increase to $21.82, effective May 16th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Carrie Perez, Social Services Worker 4, Children's Services, an increase to $16.88, effective May 3rd, a 3.2% increase. Next, Melissa Reed, Social Services Worker 4, Children's Services, an increase to $23.19, effective March 25th, a 3.4% increase. Next, Kelly Rickus, a Administrative Assistant in Children's Services, increased to $15.95, effective May 11th, a 3.3% increase. Next, Claudine Ricaldi, she's a Family Resource Specialist, Hispanic Liaison 4, Children's Services, an increase to $21.09, effective May 17th, a 3.3% increase. Next is a reclassifier promotion of Adam Stitzinger as a position of Waterline Maintenance Operator 2 at a rate of $19.63, effective June 7th, a 5.7% increase. Next, we have a request to approve the level of life insurance for full-time non-bargaining unit employees in the Sheriff Department, an increase of coverage from $20,000 to $35,000, or approximately 10 administrators that are covered by this request, and it puts them in parity with all the other employees within the Sheriff's Department. Next, as we progress on, and under Job and Family Services, we have two contracts submitted for approval today. The first is a child care contract with Euclid Academy, Forest Park, June 29th, 08 to June 30th, 09, in amount of $250,000. The next request from Job and Family Services is another child care contract with Laugh and Learn Preschool, same period of time, June 29th to June 30th, 09, in the amount of $250,000. Environmental Services has submitted 8 resolutions for your consideration. The first is a change order on the Cincinnati-Dayton Road water main project. It represents a deduction in price of $24,484, primarily for less quantities used on the project and for work not completed by the contractor. The Environmental Services next request you to approve and execute a grant agreement with Duke Energy, a perpetual non-exclusive easement for transmission and distribution of electrical energy and for technology purposes. The next resolution requests the waive the water capacity fees of $3,860 and sewer capacity fees of $3,970 for Liberty Township Fire Station. The fourth request for Environmental Services requests for you to approve the extension of public sanitary sewer to Corridor 75 Industrial Park, a sanitary extension. Their fifth request is to release a one-year maintenance bond for public water and sewer line extensions to Tall Oaks, Section 1. And the next request is again to release a one-year maintenance bond for water and sewer line extensions for Tall Oaks, Section 1A. Environmental Services also asks you to approve the release of a one-year maintenance bond for public water extensions to Liberty Office Park. And finally, under Environmental Services, they ask you to release a one-year maintenance bond for public water line extensions to Liberty Villas Water Main Loop. The Butler County Engineer is requesting 9 resolutions for your review and approval today. The first is to receive and refer bids for SAMI of various county and township roads and the Black Mat of various township roads in accordance with Butler County Engineers Contract 2008-10. Two bids were received, the first from American Pavements for $1,011,777. The next bid was received from Terry Asphalt Materials in the amount of $1,021,446. The next request is to receive and refer bids for paving various county roads in Madison Township in accordance with contract number 2008-11. The low bid appears to be John R. Jerkinson in the amount of $557,501. The high bid on this project, we received four bids in total. The high bid is Mount Pleasant Blacktopping in the amount of $596,159.
Tim?
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to throw you a curveball, but how much distance does that pay for? $557? Does it say, you know, a mile, half mile,
a road
2 miles?
No.
Oh, okay. I did throw you a curveball, didn't I?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Next, anticipating no more curveballs.
I didn't mean to do that to you, Tim.
We have a request to receive and refer bids for Cincinnati-Dayton Road, Westchester Road project from the Engineer's Office 2008-12. We've received eight bids with the lowest bid, Mount Pleasant Blacktopping, in the amount of $1,478,000 even. The high bid is from Synesis Construction at $1,717,842. The engineer asks you to approve a contract 2008-4 with John R. Jerkinson for the Princeton Road widening in the amount of $3,096,839.55. The engineer also requests you to approve another contract, this time with Mount Pleasant Blacktopping for the Swordsville-Westchester roadway improvements in the amount of $628,261.47. The engineer also requests you to approve an agreement with Beck Consulting for appraisal services for the Titusville Road project in the amount not to exceed $100,000. The engineer asks you to accept the annual report of ditch position program that has been provided and has been placed in our file in the commissioner's office. The last request from, nope, not quite. Got two more requests for the Butler County Engineer. Next is to grant special hauling permit 0806 through 080621 for Dworkin Inc. And finally, under the Butler County Engineer, they asked for approval to use GovDeals for an internet auction for various property that has been declared excess by the Butler County Engineer and hereby declared excess by the Butler County Commissioners. A list of the said property that will be auctioned through GovDeals has been provided and is on file within the commissioner's office. Finally, under miscellaneous, we have three requests today. First is to receive and refer bids for landscaping at the administration center at Princeton Road that is under construction. Four bids were received. The lowest bid from Landform Services in the amount of $160,930 even. The highest bid came from the Stephen Haller Company in the amount of $278,375 even. The next resolution hereby requests your approval to execute a contract for inside cabling at the Princeton Road Administration Center with Net Connect in the amount of $46,899. And the final resolution is a resolution from the Butler County Sheriff to approve an agreement with Mobilecom for rentals of pagers in the amount of approximating $2,502. That's communications submitted for your review and approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Mr. Jolivet, do you have anything at this time?
Yeah, I've just been thinking about all these different contracts, and when we're talking about the Roger Reynolds initiative, would this, when we have different bids, and the public wants to see, you know, who bid on a certain project, whatever it is, right now, they'd have to come up to our office and physically take a look at those. Is that right, Tim?
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, and this could be a part of that system, too, that if you know, if there was a project that was let that, you know, the, that we agreed to, we could put both bids out for the public on the internet to take a look at.
It would have to be a, probably a separate query, doesn't exactly line up with the query that they set up, but it could be easily done. We would have to virtually input those bids into a database, then that could be accessed as well into if anybody's interested to view a particular project. So it's something that's very doable, Commissioner.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think that'd be worthwhile because, you know, with the, as, you know, as I asked you a question about how much does that, you know, that bid, how many miles does that pave? I think that's important for the public to know if they want to, because it does, you know, you say, you know, how come county or the city can't pave more roads? And for the most part, people don't know how much it costs to pave a road or to blacktop or to seal it. So I think that would be interesting for the public to be able to have that information readily to say the $500,000, you know, takes care of 5 miles or 2 miles. I don't, I'm, you know, maybe I'm way off with what.
Well, to provide statistical information is a little bit more difficult because A, you have to define what information you want to define, but it's still doable. And I need to correct myself as far as who bids and the amounts. This is available to the public because they can come in through the resolution system, you know, and do a query there and actually pull up the resolution that then will reflect who bid on it. So
okay.
It's actually already
there. That's available right now.
But if you want to take that to another level where now you provide contracts, you start providing some key statistics, you know, that's something a little bit more involved that will take a little bit more time. I'm not saying it's not doable. It can be. We just have to define and come up with a standard of what information we want to quickly calculate. If it's free form, you know, we're just going to be spending our time analyzing, you know, contracts when aren't necessarily our contracts. These are the engineers' contracts.
Right.
Now, we could develop a form to come in with the resolution to request that information. You know, we're already receiving some resistance and some criticism for information that we have been, you know, asking various departments as we try to provide more information to the public on our commission days for resolutions here. So just wanted to pass that on to you. And we can talk about that later. But anyway, and here's another thought too. I mentioned it to Roger when he first was telling me about his project, about the transparency project, because his project goes in and it enables you to pull up specific vendors. You know, it's really vendor driven more than anything else. We've over the past years we've looked at, and you, I think you guys have heard me talk about, you know, a program that's called a dashboard. Create a dashboard out there that people can access that has key statistics of the county that is just updated daily. You know, for example, what are the number of building permits? You know,
right.
What are the recorder fees? What's the sales tax collections? You know, these are key statistics that, although if you buy a third-party software to do this, it's quite expensive, but certainly with the talent that we have in-house, you know, with our information services, we create also a, you know, a dashboard, if you, so to speak, that displays some key information of the county that is dynamic, that changes daily as the, you know, as the county changes. You know, for example, our total expenditures to date for the general fund that potentially could be on there.
Right.
So those are something else to consider, you know, as we move forward and look at changes and look at the way we streamline things and communicate yes. things.
Well, I think that's something that we really need to continue to keep improving. You know, as technology advances, you know, we have the ability to make our people be able to look at their government more efficiently and without the hassle of having to make a trip up here or trip, you know, and then saving the manpower involved in looking up information. So we need to continue to keep looking to improve that.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up this time just to take another look at our county vehicle use. I know we've done it in the past, and We've talked about it on several occasions, but just to take another look at the county vehicle use and the mileage that we're paying on some people on their private cars, and I think possibly work up another check on our policy and see if it needs to be fine-tuned.
I support that, and also to say that look at to see what office holders are doing, you know, as we approach $4 a gallon of gasoline, any conservation measures that they're implementing within their departments, you know, I think that would be nice to know, and they should be encouraged to do that. And if they are doing that, they should be congratulated.
That's correct. You know, for example, Commissioner Furman had pointed out with all the travel training people that we have here that, you know, we need to look at a policy of doubling up, you know, and look at the distance if it's even further than that and the people are driving to, you know, go with three or four people in a car in order to ensure that we're making the best decisions on our travel as well. So we can incorporate that as part of the policy or study that you want to look at.
Very good.
Thank you. There's nothing else?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.